may have warranted calling the police, but we didn't call the police. Mm. And it was a reason why we didn't.
Yeah. I want to also ask this. What words of inspiration and comfort can you share with people that may be struggling with trauma and grief right now?
Well, let me give you an example. A gentleman had got evicted. He stays on the street with me. Got evicted. Mm-hmm. Traumatized because he had got out the hospital. And I'm coming home. My brother calls me. I'm coming home. His stuff is getting put on the street. Mm. You know, he's been staying over 15 years. So I goes up to talk to him. And I ask him, I said, look, you know, here's my number. You know, whatever you need, I'm going to do my best to try to make sure you get it. Because you can put on the street. And I said, what happened? He says, well, I went to the hospital, had knee surgery, and I got backed up on my bills. And a lot of times our pride does not allow us to share that we need help. Or we don't know the different agencies to get help. So when people are hurting, you got to be willing to step to the plate. And you got to be willing to step to the plate with a listening ear. And then you got to have those connections to where I had to show them. So, look, I'm going to be here with you to walk you through this. Put your arms around them, show them that you love them. And then you got to have the connection with whoever they need to go to give them the answers. Because right then, if you don't have the answers, you say, look, I'm going to get them for you. You know, because you got to give them some ray of hope and understanding.
And one thing I also learned is that, like, people, when we're talking, people love to be heard.
Exactly. Yes.
And
yes.
Understand that you're listening to us,
right.
And
yes.
You're hearing us. Not just listening, but you're hearing right. What we're saying.
Right. And a lot of people suffer in silence.
Yes.
You know, they keep it bottled in. And I think that's one of the issues that a lot of our young black boys are dealing with. You know, they have all different types of things going on in their homes, in their communities. In their schools, many of them are dealing with mental health issues that we really don't recognize at first. And so they suffer in silence. And I think the church, we have to do a better job of creating an environment that says, listen, you can talk to us. This is a safe place. This is a place where you don't have to front or fake. You can lay it all on the line. Mm-hmm. And it provides a sense of release that may someday come to a head that may cause a young boy to pull out a gun and kill some people or do something that ruins his life forever. So I think we have to talk. And I also think we have to stop looking at our young boys and start looking at our young girls, too.
Mm. Yes.
Because it's a lot going on with our young girls as well.
Yep. 614-291-0955. That's the phone number for you guys to call in and have this conversation. Join in on the conversation because this is for the community. This is for all of us to talk together because we need to embrace that love right here in Columbus together. Absolutely. Again, 614-291-0955. On again right now. Finally, it's a critical time that we hear from the people who work every day to keep our kids safe in the streets, violence free. And who can objectively evaluate and how the police interact with the community. So we want you guys to also call in and talk to us, the parents who are listening right now, the teenagers who are listening right now with their parents in this community at 614-291-0955.
Yeah, come on, community. We said this morning we want to hear from you. We see you. We want to hear your voices. This program is for you. Let's talk a little bit about pastors because, you know, I hear you saying, you know, we got to have the churches open. What churches are open? Let me just say what I'm not trying to put nobody on the spot.
Right.
But we need to know what churches are opening up, having programming for our babies, for our families. Which ones are out there so folks, and I know you don't want to just say a couple of ones, but how do we begin to talk about this?
Let me share. When we heard about the strike, the teacher strike, we came together as a conference, and then we said, okay, we're going to need churches open. Mm-hmm. So the president, and hats off to President Washington, he reached out to the different churches on different sides. I took the south side. I think he called somebody take the east side, mm-hmm. somebody take the west and north side. We need to have our churches open, use our church, and we need to call the school board to see if we can get some teachers there, because we have the facility, but we just don't have the staff.
Right.
So every time a crisis rises up, we got what is called a civic betterment committee, and the civic betterment committee reaches out and we make contact. So I know my church is open on the south side, you know, and I don't know all the rest of them, but we do with the conference. We make sure, you know, that we address whatever situation it is.
So we need to have the conference. We'll put information online for those, if you can get that to us, Pastor, yes. For those individuals who want to find maybe a church home or need a church home or need to have some spiritual guidance. We're going to put that on our website so people know where they can go. You got a caller on?
Absolutely. 614-291-0955. It sounds like we are on with Gwen right now. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Do you have a question, or would you like to put some input? Or
yeah, I'd like to put some input, please.
Okay, go ahead. We're all ears.
Okay, I'm on the radio.
Yeah, yes. We're live right now. Yes, sir.
Okay, is Pastor Lamar there?
Pastor Lamar is listening right now.
He's left the room.
Okay, great. So this brother Mike, and I moved here 4 years ago from Philadelphia, and you know, I used to go to Pastor Lamar's month-to-month event. So what I want to say is this.
That's the ministry for Movement Marches.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that the spiritual community, not just here in Columbus, but what I've seen in most parts of the country, they continue to do an excellent job, number one. And
thank
it's
you.
Needed. And it's very, very needed. And so I would say that we have to continue to encourage them, the spiritual community,
yes.
spiritual leaders, and support them in the work they're doing. Also, earlier, Congresswoman Beatty, who is just doing an amazing, amazing job. And again, I am not from here originally, so I have a fresh perspective. She talked about mental health, and I actually went to her mental health event last Sunday. I think with mental health, and I've been to some of Jewel's mental health presentations, I think with mental health, you have gentlemen like Jewel's, who has a good grounding of community and the whole mental health space as well. Those folks should be, I believe, training maybe the police officers, because they can give them a realistic perspective in mental health as it relates to how to interact with the community. And I think that you have mental health training where people are in class, ho hum drum, and then you have mental health training where people are actually able to reach you with the information and allowed to stick to you. And I think with the trainings, it cannot be one off. Specifically for our law enforcement people, I think that they have to find a way to maybe have them have a few trainings, two or three a year, so that some of this stuff starts to stick in. So I think the spiritual community, very important, doing an excellent job. We have to support them. And I do think the mental health training, specifically for law enforcement people, it has to be very consistent. It cannot be a one-off.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Yeah, and you just, you know, blew up Pastor Lamar's head, and we're not going to be able to stand him after this. But thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sure that the chief the mayor will hear this suggestion, because again, we want our people to know that we hear you and we see you, and thank you for sharing that perspective.
All right, and we're going to bring on our next guest, who's going to join in on the conversation, who's part of the Columbus Urban League Violence Intervention Initiative. Adrian, what's going on, man? You can talk to the microphone right here. I'm sorry. Adrian is joining us right now. And you're actually out in the community, and you're around everyday young people and some of those who are part of the or affected by gangs. And what's driving the violence in the city right now? What do you feel?
First of all, I want to always thank Ms. Hightower for spearheading this movement.
Amen.
To continue to try to, you know, bring the gap, and all the other people that has participated in trying to help heal our communities after such a tragedy. And I also want to speak to our the nature of our community. You know, it's only 1 to 5% of the people in our community driving the violence. Mm. So I like to always speak upon the 99 to 95% of the people in our community are law-abiding citizens that are loving people in the community and doing everything they can to make our community safe. However, the driver in the seat of this violence is our acceptance as a community, the culture of violence. If you look on our music, the highest streaming music is those that are detrimental to the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the social media. Those things that are on social media that are detriment to black community get the most likes. So our acceptance has been the driver of the violence. You know, you see it today. Our young folks are dying at an astronomical number. You know, death is taking a seat at our table. And the entree has been our young.
Mm.
And our young are paying for our inability to get involved, whether it's directly or indirectly. The people that's a part of the violence, they're continuing to spearhead it because people in our community are allowing it directly or indirectly. When you say nothing and you do nothing, you're allowing it. It's like a passive way of accepting it. So that's what's been happening in our community, and it's just an unfortunate thing that because of that violence being spotlighted in our community and not the other things, our narrative in our communities that we are policed rather than protected and served.
And from what I'm hearing, it sounds like our grownups can do a better job at stepping up as well and being there for our youth right now, right?
We're asking babies to save our world. These babies inherited this.
Right.
You know, me, myself, like I said, I have been a part of that problem. You know, people could say.
So, Adrian, I need you to kind of give everybody a little bit of your history, because I think that's important, folks, to know who you are and what that history is. Don't go into no long diatribe, but tell them why you speak that truth, because they need to know who they're listening to.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what I was going to say. I'm pretty much the pot calling the kettle black. You know, youngsters always say, well, you know, because I was a gang member, I helped to start, unfortunately, the Bloods here in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a part of this death style that plagues our community now. And however, I took, you know, a personal challenge to transform myself. I came home for the last time, got a GED, graduated from Columbus State, graduated from Ohio State. Been a part of the Urban League for 10 years. Like I always tell Miss H, man, you saved my life. Miss Hightower, you saved my life. And so I'm a testament and a beacon of hope for anybody to think that you can't change. That's a lie, because I'm 50 years old and I did it. I always just tell my young folks, don't wait to be 50 years old to change your life. You could do it now.
I mean, we always hear about all of negative stuff and we got valid concerns or whatnot. But what are some positives that people are overlooking that's happening amongst the youth and things?
Again, that's why I stated, man, we got 99 to 95% of people in our community that are beautiful people, hardworking people, positive people, people that are out there with a voice that don't have a microphone.
Right.
And that's the difference between voices. You know, right now I'm sitting with a microphone speaking, but you got a lot of people that got things to say.
Mm-hmm.
We got young folks that are participating in a more higher level than I've ever seen since I've been a part of the program. And especially with the Urban League having a lot of different programs that youngsters could be a part of, we see them come out in vast numbers to support the community. You know, I'm at all every time that I see the young folks come out, because we tend to always put the blame on the young folks instead of understanding that they too are tired of this violence that's plaguing our community as well.
That's right. That's right. That's the biggest thing. What are you hearing out in the community now, Adrian? That was one of the reasons why we're having this forum, because he called me to say, hey, our young people out here are hurting.
Yeah.
What else are you hearing out here? Well, what do they need? What are they asking
the pain,
for?
But the fear. You know, like I was just, and I spoke to Ms. Hightower and said, you got law-abiding citizens, you know, law-abiding, loving citizens, church-going citizens that are afraid, that says, you know, I got a gun now that I could carry legally, and rather than being pulled over and being shot, I'd rather shoot first. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a fragile mind of thinking, and that fragility has, again, spurned the violence, because people are now preparing for violence, preparing for war, and people are in a constant state of war in our community, and that anxiety, again, it spurs the wrong way.
Yeah, that is a true story. He said, and he mentioned how you need a microphone. We got a microphone for you right now. If you want to call in, 614-291-0955. We're continuing the conversation, and our guest that's joining us right now at the table is the Columbus Inspector General, Jacqueline Hendricks. Thank you so much for joining us.
And we're going to bring Dr. Saunders up in here, too, while we're at it.
Let's bring him on in.
We're going to bring Jerry on in, too. So, you know what? One of the things that has transpired with the Ginther administration, city council, is the creation of the